Look who's right on time. I wasn't sure you'd come back.
We're back because you promised a story, Mr. Donovan.
Did I?
Yes, you did. And promises should always be kept.
Yes, they should. Promise keepers are always better than promise makers. Well, be seated. Take your computer tablets and let's begin.
Mr. Donovan is a rather eccentric teacher who can most often be found in the basement of the middle school working on computers and programs that help students learn. Every Wednesday afternoon, he rides a vintage bicycle 3 blocks to the town's only elementary school to share a history lesson with 2 students, Lizzie McElroy and Therese Flanders.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, brilliant introduction. But could you move on to the start of this week's lesson? On a schedule, you know.
Oh, sure. It was the early 1850s, and Clarissa had been both a tomboy and a socialite. She had been a laborer in a clothing factory and a teacher. It is her years as a teacher that we visit on this Misfits audio presentation of Dudley Junction, The History Collector, What Comes After Defeat. Let's rejoin the oldest living technology expert and history buff in Dudley Junction, Mr. Donovan.
I could go back to the 1830s when Clarissa was not much older than these 2 students.
Yes.
But she was a real tomboy.
Oh.
There's really little to tell, actually. She played the role of a nurse and helped her brother recover from an injury.
She sounds like a wonderful young girl.
Oh, hello, Miss Carlyle. Good to see you. Thanks for bringing these young ladies to class. Will you be sitting in on the lesson today?
I'd be happy to.
Now, where was I?
You were explaining why you couldn't talk about when Clarissa was our age.
That's right. And it's mostly because I wanted to tell you about Clarissa as a teacher, when she worked with children. And, of course, when she was a child, she wasn't really working with children, was she?
I think the right answer is no, but I could be wrong.
Why, she spent more than 12 years teaching students in both Canada and the United States.
Big deal. A lot of people teach. You teach. Miss Carlyle teaches.
Well, yes, you have a point, but there was one day when Clarissa did something no one expected. Press the start button on your tablet, if you would.
It's just not done.
Why not?
Clarissa, be reasonable. There are no public schools in all of New Jersey.
And that's exactly why we need one.
But a free public school?
Wait. Aren't all public schools free?
Well, no, not really. It's just that now predetermined taxes are collected to pay for teacher salaries, building programs, and the curriculum, etc., etc., etc.
Huh?
Well, yes, for the sake of brevity. No students are required to pay to attend school today.
So why was it such a big deal for Clarissa?
Let's go back to the story to find out. Press the resume button, please.
You do realize that if we start a free public school, we could not pay you to teach.
But don't all children deserve an education? Not just those whose families can afford it.
You are a stubborn woman.
I am. Especially when I know I'm right.
I fear for anyone who tries to stand in your way.
Let me pause for just a moment. You see, it wasn't long before Clarissa had a classroom of 6 rambunctious young boys in one of the worst school buildings in all of New Jersey.
What's rambunctious?
Yes, well, let's see. Rowdy, rough, unsettled.
You mean like noisy and rude?
Precisely.
Is that sort of like exactly?
It is. Any other questions?
Not at the moment, Mr. Donovan.
All right, then. By the end of the year, that tough teacher who fought for the first free public schools in all of New Jersey had more than 600 students.
600?
Are they all rowdy and rude?
Probably not. You should know that not everything went her way. Tap the catch-up button.
Have they made their decision yet?
I am afraid so.
Afraid? Then am I to assume things did not go in my favor?
You see, the success of your school has been beyond anything they expected.
I have worked very hard.
I know you have. It's easy to see. They simply feel that the growth of the school would be best managed by a man.
I see. I would like to thank you for the opportunity, John. I will remove my things from the school immediately.
Perhaps we can find a new position for you here.
Really, John, I must be going.
Clarissa!
Wait a minute. That wasn't much of a story.
Much too short, Mr. Donovan.
Where's the happy ending? This wouldn't make a very good book.
I'm so disappointed.
I've come to expect more from you.
Well, there is more to the story.
More?
Yes, there's more. It's almost like there's a childlike echo in here. So, where were we?
Clarissa had the idea to start New Hampshire's first public school.
And she does a great job.
The school went from 6 students to more than 600 in the first year.
And then they told Clarissa that she wasn't good enough and let her go.
Well, not exactly. They knew she was good enough, but it seemed that the jobs people thought of as most important were given to men. And the board thought they needed to make a change so others would think they took the new school seriously.
Still, rude.
But as it turns out, there were better things in store for Clarissa. She just didn't know it yet.
Thank you for waiting. I must say, you've impressed us.
Thank you, Thomas.
We've never had a woman who's worked in the United States Patent Office here in Washington before. It's a pleasure to welcome you.
Thank you so much. I shall do my best to comport myself in a manner that brings honor to this hallowed office.
I'm certain you will.
Well, where do I start?
Come with me.
That's awesome. Clarissa got a new job that was even better than the last one.
Yes, she did.
And she lived happily ever after.
This is the part where you're supposed to tell us that everything was good.
I wish I could, but this is no fairy tale.
What happened then?
Well, Clarissa was a hard worker. She was paid the same as any man in the office. But it wasn't long before people began to say mean things about Clarissa.
I hate it when people do that.
But couldn't they just be happy for her?
That is a good question. It wasn't long before she was earning less. Her position was given to another. And then, even that position was eliminated.
What does that mean?
She lost her job.
Why wouldn't anyone give her a chance?
Well, they did. But when she proved she was as good as any man at the same job, well...
They just couldn't handle it.
Oh, you've got that right. Excellent analysis.
Excellent. What?
Analysis. It's when you really pay attention to the details and think about how things will end up. It was as if I was saying good job.
Oh, thank you.
You're most welcome.
So what new adventure did she go on next?
She went home. Not the house she had in Washington, but back home to her family in Massachusetts. She had no job, no support, and she wasn't married.
She was a full-grown lady, right?
She was. And that's probably why she took it so hard. For 3 long years in the late 1850s, Clarissa waited with her family for some little bit of hope to shine through. By the early 1860s, America was headed into civil war.
I've heard about that. The North and the South fought against each other.
That's true. Clarissa was at home caring for her father, Stephen, who was dying.
That's really sad.
Yes, but it is important to the story.
Why?
Well, before he died, Stephen had something to say to his daughter Clarissa.
Clarissa?
Yes, Papa?
You have been such a blessing these past months.
I'm glad I could be here to help you. I really wouldn't want to be anywhere else. What are you thinking about, Papa?
Of you, as a child.
I hope I wasn't a burden.
Burden? Oh, never that. Do you remember how you helped nurse your brother to good health when you were little more than a child?
I do.
The doctor did not believe he would survive.
And I believed he should not die.
And so, you defied the good doctor, treated your brother with all that you had learned.
And he lived.
Yes, he did. and I have grandchildren because you did not give up on your brother.
Papa, why is this story important to you?
Because you don't belong here.
What?
Oh, I am grateful that you are here, but you're a headstrong, willful woman.
Pardon?
The day is coming when I will no longer breathe the air of the living. When I'm gone, I want you to have an idea of where you are moving with your own life.
Every time I have proven myself, someone has come along and taken all I have worked for.
Yes, I know, dear daughter. And now, war is coming to our own lands. Families will fight with each other. Men will leave all they have known to fight for what they believe to be right.
Papa, why must war come?
Well, perhaps this is why you've been waiting.
What do you mean?
Well, this war will need someone who fought for children when they could not afford school. This will need someone who could stand up against injustice and prove that women can do the work of a man. But this war will need the compassion of a girl who fought for the life of her brother. Only you can decide. And what I know is that buried deep in the heart of my daughter is the belief that all humanity needs compassion. You've had a good rest these 3 years. And perhaps it is time for a new work.
Papa, I needed to hear you say this.
Your faith makes you strong. Your heart makes you compassionate. Your love should help you forgive the past and help where the help is needed the most.
And she did just that.
Wait, did Clarissa's dad die?
Yes, he did.
How sad.
But it was his words that sent Clarissa back to Washington. Only this time, what she ultimately did was not about proving she could do the work of a man, but to help those men who fought against each other.
What did she do?
Well, she worked with a ladies' aid society that gathered medical supplies for the battles taking place. The men would need to be treated for their injuries. Within a year, she would become the first woman to tend to the wounds of soldiers on the front lines of battle. And people began to pay attention to what Clarissa was doing.
Did she lose that job too?
No, she didn't. It wasn't long before she seemed to be in charge of nursing for the entire war. She took care of men from both sides of the battle. She changed the way the government took care of its fighting force. And it was her care that helped bring many soldiers back home to their families.
That was a pretty important job.
Yes, and it didn't stop once the war was over.
What do you mean?
Well, when the war was over, people from all over the United States tried to find their soldier boys. Clarissa started an organization that helped families find more than 20,000 missing soldiers.
But why didn't they use Google?
Believe it or not, there was a time when the internet did not exist. Well, it was very different back then. If you wanted to ask someone a question, you couldn't text, use Facebook, or call on the phone. You had to send letters or travel to where they were to get the information you needed. It was much harder to find someone then.
So this was her happy ending.
Well, it was the beginning of her happy ending.
What do you mean?
Ms. Carlyle, why don't you explain?
I'd be happy to. Clarissa met a lady by the name of Susan B. Anthony, and they worked on helping women get more rights. Then, she had the chance to meet Frederick Douglass, and she worked with him on civil rights issues.
She was very busy.
Yes, she was. And she wasn't finished.
Seriously? What else did she do?
Well, when the war was over, Clarissa's doctor told her she had worked so hard she needed a vacation. She was sent to Switzerland for rest.
That was a long way to go just for a nap.
Well, when they said that a patient needed rest back then, they meant that the patient needed to stop all their normal work and recover from working too hard.
Too bad they don't have that for school. Maybe I can take a 4-day weekend or something.
Yes, well, nothing like that in the policy manual. Moving on.
Clarissa met Dr. Appiah, who told her about a new organization that he thought she could help with back in the United States. When she returned from her rest, she would start America's chapter of the Red Cross. By 1882, the U.S. government recognized Clarissa's organization.
Clarissa was even placed on a postage stamp in 1948. She was the leader of the Red Cross well into her 80s. And then something familiar happened.
What's that?
She was replaced by an all-male board and leadership.
Well, that stinks.
One thing we must remember is that Clarissa showed all of America that women were not less important than men. She struggled trying to be better than a man and ended up serving their needs when wounded in battle. She came to the conclusion that men and women should be equal, not leaving others to feel less important.
She proved that no matter where she was placed, she could take on a job that nobody else was doing and find a way to be successful. And that's why we remember her today.
Why haven't I heard about Clarissa before?
Yeah, you'd think other people would want to know about her.
Well, actually, they do.
What?
Most people know her by a different name. Tell you what, take your tablet and use a search engine, whichever one you like.
Okay.
Now, type in founder of the American Red Cross.
Got it.
Well, what did you get?
Clara Barton?
That's right. Clara's real name was Clarissa.
So, what did you learn?
Clarissa had a hard life.
That's true. But what if she'd given up after losing her public school to another teacher?
She wouldn't have gone to work in Washington.
She wouldn't have become a nurse.
She wouldn't have helped save lives during the Civil War.
All true. And I'm glad that even Ms. Carlyle was listening. Anything else?
She wouldn't have founded the Red Cross in America.
I don't think she would have been as strong as she was.
And that may be the best lesson of all. Sometimes the hardest things we face become the things that make us strong.
Well, looks like we're all out of time this week.
Aww.
Never fear, young ladies. I will return with a new bit of history for you soon enough.
Tomorrow?
No, probably not tomorrow.
Next week?
We'll see.
Let's thank Mr. Donovan for coming by.
Thanks, Mr. Donovan.
Nice to see you two again. Now, never forget, history is filled with great stories, and there is always something to learn from them.
Put like a quote on one of those motivational posters.
Yes, well, I liked it.
Dudley Junction, The History Collector, What Comes After Defeat, was written, produced, and mixed by Glenn Haskell. Executive producer and webmaster, Captain John Tatterzak. Theme music by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Our cast includes Tammy Rumfelt as narrator, Glenn Haskell as Mr. Donovan, Katie Daynard as Ms. Carlyle, Chloe Daynard as Lizzie, Joni Daynard as Therese, Tanya Maloyevich as Clarissa, Randy Strew as John, John Daynard as Thomas, and Joe Stofko as Stephen. Dudley Junction, The History Collector, What Comes After Defeat, was developed to salute those who see injustice and stand for truth and compassion. This production is for enjoyment purposes only. Any similarities to historical figures was intended, although dialogue and the remaining characters were entirely fictional. I'm your narrator, Tammy Rumfelt. This is an original production by Misfits Audio. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved.